Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Mind Shift Radio.
Another edition of Mind Shift Talk Radio. I am your host, Stacey Emery, along with my awesome and phenomenal co-host, Mr. Billy Miller and Dr. Ayo on the line. Dr. Ayo Kedar, the natural Zen diva. Welcome to the call, guys.
Hey. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
You better wake up. But yes, thank you guys. You know, it is Monday night. It's 10 p.m. You know, we're excited. 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So we're hoping those folks on the West Coast are still up and wired and awake and everything, ready to join us for tonight's show. And, you know, for those of you that may have been listening throughout this month, we've been having some really fun, interesting conversations about relationships. You know, we've talked about different perspectives on relationships in terms of, you know, how our relationships with our parents affect our relationships and our ability to have healthy adult relationships. We've talked about, you know, interracial dating and marriages and so forth. So it's been very interesting. We've had some great people on our panel and some roundtable discussions over the month as well. So it's been fun. I can say, you know, to say the least, it's been a lot of fun. And so we're going to continue that tonight, you know, and we were talking after the last show, and I was saying, you know, it would be great for us to continue this topic. I think it was that night I posted a video on Facebook after the call last week, after the show, and I put a video up there of Mary J. Blige, You Are My Everything, or something like that, You Are Everything, which is one of my favorite songs. And so, you know, females were posting on there saying, gosh, you took me back with this song. And she was like, you know, I think this should be the title for next week's show. So we're like, you know what, that would be cool. Let's have a healthy relationship call. We talk about all the drama all the time. I'm sure you guys can get on Facebook at any given time and find some relationship drama. But how often is it that we're finding conversation and posts about healthy relationships from a healthy perspective? So that's what tonight's show is going to be about. It's about the how-tos to healthy relationships. And we are going to be fortunate enough to have some guests on the line with us this evening sharing some information about their relationships, sharing their perspectives and their insight. And so I will talk to you. I will introduce them shortly. But before we talk about that and go into the full topic, Ayo and Billy, we were just, you know, kind of giggling to ourselves before the show even started because we were talking about how challenging it was for us to even find guests to come on the show to talk about healthy relationships. And I even made a post today saying, you know, that's probably a topic in itself. You know, we put posts out there, we send discussions out and so forth and have some of you guys posting on the Mindshift Talk Radio Facebook page. And you'll hear, we'll get tons of feedback on other topics, especially just regular singles dating and so forth. But when we ask for healthy relationships or people to discuss their happy, healthy relationships, I personally had a hard time. I know, Billy, you said you ran into some roadblocks trying to get some people to respond, right?
Yeah, I tried to find some people, and I didn't get any responses. I mean, I know it's some out there, but, you know, it's not enough to, you know, you got more people that's in unhealthy relationships than you do people that are in healthy relationships. So the very few I know, I couldn't get in contact with them. But it should be the other way around. It should be tons of couples, you know, in healthy relationships. We should be turning people down to be on the show.
Exactly. What did you get, Ayo? What type of response did you get?
Oh, man, it was so cold, Stacey. Everybody was like, I'm like, even myself, while I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, golly, who do I even know that is in, you know, what I consider a healthy relationship, you know, like past the surface, just what you see on the surface. You know, a healthy, happy, you know, and of course we have to define that into our own terms because what happy and healthy is to each of us can vary, you know, dramatically. So that was, you know, so I'm like just even trying to rack my own brain, I'm coming up short, like, no, they not really wait. They don't even sleep together. Nah, that don't count. That don't count. Nah, they don't really like each other. No,
right.
You don't fit the bill. You know?
Yeah.
Healthy
and just the right.
A healthy relationship
right.
is not just a group of people living together.
Right. That's not healthy. That's not. But it may be happy, though. It may be happy, but not necessarily healthy.
Yeah, somebody might
right?
be.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not
right.
be happy either. Just because you're living together don't mean you're happy. If you live,
there
if you're sleeping in two separate beds, that's a sign that you're not happy.
Yeah, I would question that happiness. But like we said, you know, before we even got started this evening, we were like, well, maybe there's some people, I'm sure there's several people that are in relationships and they feel like, okay, I'm happy, I'm good in my relationship, but I don't know if I would necessarily consider this to be that happy, healthy relationship, you know, because, again, they don't know what that means. I know on my post I said, do you fit the bill? But as you just said, Io, it depends on what your definition is of a happy and healthy relationship, right? So they may want to come on and say, okay, I want to talk, but they may feel, well, maybe people won't see my relationship as being that happy and healthy relationship.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can go either way with that. But it was just interesting. I just had to bring that point up because we were just kind of giggling about it. And really it is just something to make you think, you know, even thinking about your own personal relationships. I had to think about my own relationships that I've had and think about where I am now. And it's like you can definitely see the growth and the development over time. And how often is it that we say, gosh, if I had known back then what I know now, imagine where I would be, right? And we say that about every area of our lives, not just relationships. We say it about business. We talk about parenting. We talk about our relationships with our friends. But think about how that ties into your personal romantic relationships. If you would have known 5 years ago what you know now, imagine how much heartbreak we could have, you know, gotten past, right? Or
right.
Mm-hmm. prevented, yeah, if we had known these things. But, again, it's all part of the journey. You know, it's all a learning experience. It's all part of that growth. It's all part of that development. So we just have to embrace it. We embrace the good and the bad, right?
Right.
But, yeah, so rolling on with this topic. Again, you know, I'm excited about this one, and I'm really excited because, you know, I want to hear what a happy, healthy relationship sounds like. You know, I have my own definition. I'm sure you guys have yours as well. But for those of you that are listening tonight, we do encourage you to give us a call. Let us know what your thoughts are. You know, share your insight and your perspectives with us. You can reach us at area code 347-989-0206. Again, it's 347-989-0206. And you can also join us via the chat at mindshifttalkradio.com. So rolling into our phenomenal, special, amazing guest that are joining us. We have a married couple from California. So we have a West Coast guest on the line with us right now, you know, tonight. So I'm excited about that. I know it's been hot out there, so hopefully you guys are all cooled off. But we have a really cute couple, Mr. Chris and Mrs. Summer Creighton. Hey, guys, are you on the line?
Yes.
Yes, we're here.
Yep, how you guys doing?
How you
we
doing?
Are fantastic. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us tonight. You know, and Summer, I thank you for speaking up on Facebook today and saying you would be willing to participate in the conversation. I thank you for that. I know it was kind of short.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
No problem. And, you know, Summer, I've looked at your post on Facebook, and I say you guys are cute because, I mean, sometimes I can just see how you're just, like, glowing just through your post about you and Chris and so forth. And I admire that. I think it's really cute. So, you know, I do admire that.
Yes,
and Chris, you know, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what it is, and that's what we're going to find out tonight because I'm sure some more brothers want to hear what you're doing to make her so happy on Facebook and everywhere else. So why don't you guys just go ahead and tell us who you are. Just tell us a little bit about who Summer and Chris are.
Go ahead,
Steph. Okay. Well, I'm Summer Creighton. I am a life coach, and my niche is actually toxic relationships. So I help women in particular get out of relationships that are poisonous to them. So we deal a lot with relationships. And I'll let my husband introduce himself.
All right. I'm Chris Creighton, and I'm a youth pastor, and I work full-time at church doing accounting. And, you know, one of the things I'm going to school for is biblical counseling, so I'm trying to counsel. So I counsel some youth and some of the people that are ministry and other people that, you know, bring their friends and things like that, you know, just trying to live right and be a positive example and stuff like that. And, you know, that's pretty much it. choir type of guy, but, you know, my wife made me get on here with y'all. But no, I'm playing. No, I enjoy it. I thank you guys. Thank you guys for real for just allowing us. This is our first time, and so, you know, it's good to be able to do this together. So
yeah, I got to push them out there. That's what you do. Wives, husband out there. Push them towards their destiny. Note to self, just tell my husband what to do. No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
How long y'all been married?
Yeah, that's a happy and healthy relationship.
Yep. Leave pride at the door.
Right. But that goes both ways, right? It's not just the husband, it's for the wife as well. All right, good. I want to make sure we're clear. Billy, what were you asking?
How long y'all been married?
You know what? We've been married for 2 years, but we both have gone through divorce where he was married 10 years?
Almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years, and I was married about 8. So we are very experienced in relationships and marriages, but to each other, 2 years.
Cute.
Now, as far as both of you guys coming out of different marriages and so forth, tell us about some of the things that you learned about yourself in your previous marriages that have helped you guys to be more successful in this one.
Okay,
that's a good question. Yeah. Okay, well, for me, I've learned in my previous that I wanted to do differently in this one is that I was very controlling, and also I wanted to be the head, basically. When you've been raised, I was raised with a single mom, and when you've been raised with a single mom, sometimes you can be too strong and you don't know how to let someone lead you. So I knew in this relationship, in this marriage, that I wanted to make sure that my, because as he said, he's a youth pastor, so we're Christians, I wanted to make sure that my husband was the priest of the household and he was the leader of the household, and that I would allow him to lead me and that wouldn't take away from me. I know a lot of women have a problem with submission, but I don't have a problem with it because I trust him, and that's another thing. You have to be able to trust who you're with. If you can't trust him, then it will be hard to submit to him. But I know he wants the best for me as I want for him. So being able to submit myself to him was a little easier than I thought it would. Because when you hear that word, you're like, ooh, submission, that sounds a little scary.
Right.
Strong will.
Yes.
But because I knew his heart and because I knew that he had God's heart, and so meaning that he had the best interest for me, it was a little easier for that. So I wanted to make sure I work on that, and that's what I did.
So you found
it easier to submit in this relationship versus the last relationship. Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I think for me was a couple of things. I think for me was that I felt like I lost myself. And one of the things is to get myself back, you know, to find who I was. I think also at different times I played the victim role instead of being more proactive, you know. And that's one of the things I learned. I learned to be a servant, to have the mentality to be okay with serving, and you know, not to carry a chip on my shoulder, to be learning how to be a little more patient, and be understanding with, you know, with everybody's strengths and weaknesses. So for myself, I really had to look deep and hard at myself and the fact of not being a, how do I want to say it, codependent, but being a person who's interdependent, where I could be dependent and also independent.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah. And I think we both also learned that it's easier when you're going in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us had a heart for ministry. We had a heart for people hurting, especially in relationships, addictions like pornography or anything, any other addictions. We both had a heart for that. So we were going towards the same direction.
Yeah.
I think that's really important for you to talk about that piece in terms of going in the same direction, because many times, you know, and I think we've all fallen victim to it, where we get into relationships with people. I mean, clearly at the beginning you see all the red flags that show you that you're going in completely opposite directions, but there's something that holds you there. So in terms of healthy relationships, like, you guys both learned a lot from your previous marriages, but for singles listening to the show, What would you say that men need to do, Chris, and what would you say, Summer, that women would need to do to prepare themselves to be in that healthy relationship?
I think one thing you just have to be, you really have to be honest with yourself. I think you really have to be honest with what you want. Mm-hmm. Another thing for men is just that make sure she is whoever you want that person to be, make sure they're that. Don't try to wait till, oh, maybe 2 or 3 years or 5 years into the relationship,
don't
they're going to
change.
Don't
give yourself a project.
Right, exactly. You should know what you want. And also from the standpoint, too, is being a gentleman. You know, you should want to be the one to serve, because, you know, that's the highest thing. That's to me, I get fulfillment. So you should get fulfillment into being a friend to someone. I think just making sure for yourself that you're coming into this thing whole.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think for women, I think Chris has also made some good points for women as well, is that, you know, don't get yourself a project. Make sure you're very honest and open with what you want, because you don't want to have to deal with something later that you can't deal with. So make sure, I think women tend to be a little scared to be boisterous in that type of situation of saying what they want, because they're scared that they're going to be alone and he's going to leave and things like that. But if he is really into you and if he really loves you, then he's going to work on certain things. I was very open and honest with Chris on what I wanted in a spouse, because I wanted to make sure he can handle that. I didn't want to have to work through certain things that I know was going to be very difficult and was going to be a problem in the marriage. So I think you need to be open and honest in the front. And as I said before, with the submission thing, it doesn't take away from you. That doesn't mean that you're not as powerful. You still own your own power. You just, together, you're even more powerful. So it's not that it makes you a weak person or you're a punk and all that. It just, it makes you actually pretty stronger, because you and your husband together, you guys are more powerful.
Yeah.
So I would say be open and honest at the very beginning, because what you allow at the very beginning is what will continue.
Mm. You know, you mentioned submission a couple of times, and, you know, a lot of people are afraid of that word because they think it means slavery.
Yeah.
But submission means, you know, that word sub means under, so that just means get under his mission and he gets under your mission.
That's right.
What it sounds like y'all are headed. And I got a question as far as, because I know a lot of people fail in relationships because they failed to prepare for marriage.
Yes.
How important do you feel that preparation is for marriage and getting prepared for marriage?
Man, I think it's so important. I mean, we go to college to get an education for a career. We do so many things to study on. I'm thinking, like, why not study for marriage? I mean, it's because it's just
right.
One of those things that's just a big, big decision to make, because you're going to be living with that person. Basically, you're supposed to be living with that person for the rest of your life. And I think it's just important to really get to know you, to really get to understand what marriage really is about, and I think to educate yourself too on looking at, you know, the signs, or looking at, you know, what should this other person add to me, and what should I be able to add to the other person?
Yeah.
So I think it's just a study that continues to go on. I think you shouldn't stop even after you get married.
Mm-hmm.
You should
mm-hmm.
always be trying to learn, how can I be a better husband, or how can I be a better wife? And to me, husband and wife should be synonymous for friendship. So you should be just in the art of just learning how to be husband and wife friends, you know. So that's just something that should be ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Chris made a good point, because he said, you know, like, you educate yourself mm-hmm. for college. You know, any other license or certification we get, we have to study mm-hmm. and prepare for it.
That's,
you know,
right.
If you want to get a CNA license, you got to prepare for it, or A-plus computer certification, air pilot license, whatever it is. It's nothing you can play around. You have to really study hard and prepare for it. But marriage license is the only thing that we fail to prepare for. We just go downtown and, you know, pay the money required to get it. We fail to prepare and study like we do the other licenses. And like you said, this is dealing with somebody else's life.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing is that we, you know, in educating ourselves, we really get to, sometimes when we're growing up in with our mothers and fathers, we get some good things, we get some good habits, and we get some not so good habits. You know, and we need something, we need it to educate ourselves, so to open up our eyes to family origin or you know, really what makes us, makes us who we are. You know, one of the things I've been telling my wife, I said, man, I really, for the youth ministry, I really would like to have a class for seniors. She's like, before you go off to college, we're going to teach you about marriage, because, you know, you just get so caught up in the love and the feelings and the emotions of it, and, you know, sometimes you just get into making just bad decisions because you really don't understand really what marriage is. It's not just, okay, we're just going to live together. It's most of, it's the fact of, and one time or another, I'm going to have to, you know, we want a win-win situation, but I'm have to give up myself so that my spouse, you know, give up myself so that she'll be happy. Not meaning that I sacrifice me or lose me, but the thing is that what's more important? You know, sometimes it's just like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to stop this a little bit, or I'm just going to back up a little bit. I'm going to let her have her shine, because, you know, sooner or later, it's going to be the opposite, where if I'm giving, she's going to do the same thing. So it's just...
Mm-hmm. So it's the support.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
I'm sorry, Isle. Go ahead. I'm talking to myself. Go ahead. I have a question about, so what kind of things do you guys think that you have to do to prepare yourself for being in a long-term relationship, for making that commitment to someone? What kind of things do you have to do to prepare yourself?
I believe that, like Chris mentioned before about becoming whole, I believe that you really need to reevaluate yourself, your life, and how you've grown up, and how you view marriage. So when you do come with that other person that you are going to marry, you can explain to them how you view marriage, because we don't view it the same, especially when you've grown up differently. Chris has grown up with two parents, and I grew up with one. So, you know, he had to tell me how he viewed marriage, and I told him how I view my mom being single. And the thing that's crazy is, like, me as a teenager, I actually wanted to be a single parent. I didn't want a husband. I wanted a child, but I didn't want a husband. And that's how twisted my thinking was because of the way I grew up. But when he introduced me to a healthy marriage, which was in his parents, that was beneficial to me. So he was already adding to my life through that. So I think what you have to do is, you have to, like I said, reevaluate yourself, how you grew up, get that together, make sure you're whole, make sure you're not too dependent on somebody, or being a female who needs a man in their life. Make sure you're okay with being by yourself. I tell my clients that all the time, and those who struggle with it, I tell them, go out on a couple of dates by yourself. Get to know yourself, enjoy yourself before you're out there looking for someone to add to your life. So, and then also, of course, the things is making sure your finances are in order the best way you can. You know, not everyone has just perfect credit, but make sure it's together the best way you can, and making sure that you're in a good place as far as, what do you want to be in your career first before you start a family? Do you want to, so just getting all that together, I would say, as far as preparing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the thing in preparing is, like we were saying, you know, find some seminars. I mean, just get yourself out there. You know, if you're part of a local church, see what they're offering. You know, to give a good balance. And you know, like, know where you're going. Have an understanding. You may not know exactly where you're going, but have an understanding of what direction you want to go to. Really know your limitations. I think it's really
know what you want.
Know what you want. Know what you can handle. And know what you can't handle. Man, I think I asked my wife the same question like 1,000 times because I wanted to make sure I got the same answer. So the thing is, you just got to really prepare yourself in the fact of just really understanding, you know, your role and what is required of you. And if you're lacking in that, then that's the thing to work on. So I think if you're lacking in patience or different other things, I think those are the things that you begin to work on. Just don't put it on the back shelf, or don't think that, okay, well, I'm just going to, you know, I'm just going to do this and I'll grow later. I think the important thing is to, some things just to make sure you grow up a little bit in some areas before you take that step.
Now, that's true, because with Chris, before him, I wasn't affectionate with my ex-husband, and so that was a concern with us, and I was telling him I'm not affectionate, and he is very affectionate, but I realized now that I'm in the marriage, it was because I was constantly being cheated on in my first marriage, so it's hard to be affectionate with someone who is having sex with other people and who you don't trust. And so I thought, but it's crazy how you brand yourself as that. Here I am with this new wonderful man. I'm telling him, well, I'm not affectionate. But that was because of what was going on in my first marriage. So that's why I say take the time to really get to know yourself, your true self.
Definitely. And it sounds like a lot of it has to do with not only learning about yourself, but being able to forgive yourself for mistakes you have made and also forgiving those other individuals that have hurt you as well. Because we can take so much baggage into the next relationship. Like you said, for example, with you not being affectionate, here it is, you have this man that's probably everything that you've ever dreamt of, and you were still having some challenges and some hiccups in showing him the affection and the love that he deserves to receive from you because of what someone else did. So I think it's important for us to understand, you know, I think if many of us go into relationships, and I've been guilty of this in my past as well, where I would go into a relationship thinking, okay, it's over, it's done with, I'm ready for another one, but really never dealt with what caused that last relationship to come to an end. You know, what did I do to contribute to that relationship coming to an end, and what did that individual do? And then think, okay, now I've overcome this, now I'm ready to go into this, because sometimes we just run into the next one and we just keep bringing that baggage, and it just goes in, and it goes on and it goes on, and then we wonder why we're running into the same hiccups. You know, we've said it before, where you can date several different people, but at the end of the day, you're still dating that same person. He just has different faces, or she has different faces. You still run into the same thing. So I like that you guys talked about that, and also about the communication piece, about just making sure that you're having that open conversation, that open dialogue. And if you're not able to have that open communication while you're dating, how are you going to be able to communicate about the serious issues when you're actually married, right?
Exactly. And we were just having a conversation about that this morning when we talked about being on the show, about how important communication is. And I was telling my husband that, you know, I hear women say all the time that men have a problem with communication. So I really, really think of myself as blessed, because my husband, he doesn't. We talk all the time. We talk all night. And that's the other thing, is that friendship is so important. We're friends as well. It's not that he's just my husband, that he's my friend as well.
You know, one thing I wanted to add to that, you know, I wasn't like that in my first marriage. And with Summer, because, you know, I just, like, she was definitely what I wanted. To me, you know, I was just like, well, I'm going to have to learn how to talk, because I don't want to lose her. You know, I want to make sure that we stay together. I didn't want to go through another divorce. So I was just like, whatever it's going to take to, and I really enjoy talking with Summer. She is my best friend, and I think that's very, very important. So for me, it was like a no-brainer. I was just like, you know what? I will do whatever it takes, because I love her and I want her to always stay in my life, and that's the most important thing to me.
And especially when we're going through something as individuals, when we're going through a struggle, it's really great that we can go to each other. And we usually go to each other first before we go to a friend or a family member and let that person know what's going on. And so it's great that we can, that we're both like counselors and coaches, and we both can counsel each other and coach each other through it. And, well, above all, pray for each other.
I want to come back to that.
I have a question.
But before we touch on that. Okay, and when you're done, can you go ahead and get that question that's in the chat room, too? Thank you, ma'am.
What question do we have? Oh, okay. Well, let me ask that first then, because I got one from Facebook.
Okay.
So what do you guys value most in your relationship? And I think you guys kind of touched on this. So what do you value most in your relationship?
Oh, well, look, I mean, first things first. I mean, if there's a conversation we have the most about is Christ.
Yeah.
And this guy. So, I mean, so I would say that's the most important, because it just trickles down into our relationship, I mean, with our own relationship. Mm-hmm. So, but besides that, communication. I think communication and it's very, very important. I think with communication comes to honesty and integrity in talking with one another.
Yeah. So. And I laugh when he said Christ, because We really, literally do. And I think that people, especially people in church, would think, oh, they're just saying that it's a cliche or blah. No, we literally do. So it's good to be with someone that has the same passion. We're both passionate about God and the Word of God. So we do really talk about that a lot.
Yeah, communication is
nice.
The bloodline to any relationship. And without communication, whatever you're striving for is dead.
Exactly.
Yeah. I heard this man of God say this once, and y'all can tell me if you can affirm this statement. He said, the marriage is work, and the moment you stop working the marriage, it stops. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, you know, I think it's true. I think, too, when you look at work, because sometimes we look at work as, I hate going to work. But what about if you love going to work? And that's why I think about marriage. Marriage is work, but I love it. It's a job that I want to go to every day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So if you have that mentality, it's not going to be laborious or even though you have to labor, there's a reward to it, and you're in a good mindset or attitude. But if you look at marriage in the other way around, then you may want to stop working because you're just like, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
That leads right into the next thing that was from Stacey was talking about earlier on Facebook, where, you know, one young lady mentioned that people don't want to fight, and she's been in a relationship for about, I think she said 12 years, and she said that people don't want to fight to make their relationship work. And so my question to that is, you know, is it really have to be a fight? Like, do you have to fight to stay together? Like, at some point, shouldn't it be like, okay, we're working on this, we're coasting? I mean, why do we have to fight to stay together? I don't understand that, you know, is it really that much of a, and I mean, and from my own relationship, I've been in a relationship for 10 years, and it has been a fight. It's like, you know, that's why I said, I mean, great day. Does it have to be a fight to stay together? It don't seem like it, at some point it shouldn't be as, you know, such a daunting task.
You know, I think at times it can seem like it. I think, too, I think, you know, when I look at it, I think sometimes it is a heart issue. Because you're putting two people from different backgrounds, different mentalities together. So at times it may seem like it's a fight, but
But I don't think it has to be like a fight. Like,
yeah.
Like you're really like holding on.
No, yeah.
Like, cut the cord.
It really has to be bad, but you could have a struggle every now and then.
When do you cut the cord? Like, what was the, you know, because you guys were both in long-term relationships, you know, previously. What was the turning point? Now, what did you finally say is like, okay, you know what? I think it's time.
Well, mine's a little easier. Mine is after you've dealt with woman after woman, all the cheating and people getting pregnant and all that, after that, you're just like, okay, I can't take it no more. I mean, I got to the point where I was getting sick, literally in and out the hospital with all kind of issues, and my doctor kept saying it was stress and it was really wearing me down, and I have two little girls that I had to stay around for, and I couldn't let him be the death of me, literally.
Wow.
You know, yeah, mine was more of, it seemed like it was just gone. I felt like the person didn't want to work it out anymore, that, like, the love wasn't there. I was going through the healing process of, okay, I wanted to keep my marriage, I wanted to do certain things, but it was, you know, and there's some other things that happened, but finally it was just like, that's it. Then I we ended it, but... You know, back to you, fight. I just think marriage doesn't have to be a fight. I really don't. I mean, we have our, you know, we have our issues, and we have our, you know, we have our disagreements and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I think we're always trying to get through whatever we need to get through and not let it linger.
Mm-hmm.
But the respect, and I think there has to be that respect, and just, again, not trying to, the struggle is, trying to be on top. I think if you're always trying to stay on top or be on top or feel like you're losing yourself, I think you're going to fight. But I think it's I would like to say it is just to keep on working, to keep on laboring, to keep that thing together.
But that goes back to the communication. Like you said, it's the bloodline. Mm-hmm. The communication is the because if you can constantly communicate on how you're feeling, that person is open and they want you to be happy. They have your best interest at heart and they want to see you live an abundant life, then that makes it a little easier.
Yep.
So it's a difference between fighting in your marriage and fighting for your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I would say that.
That's good.
Yeah, because if you and your spouse is always fighting, always struggling, you know, I really believe that's just there's a block, there's a heart issue, there's a miscommunication. People are, you know, sometimes assuming, and there's no empathizing. It seems like it's just like, okay, I want this and you want that, and I'm gonna get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
It can get that way. I think sometimes you just have to step back and you have to think of what's the most important thing. Is it for me to be right? I think I heard Dr. Phil say something like, "Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?"
Yeah.
And the thing that stuck with me because I was just like, you know what? I want to be happy. So sometimes it's just a soft answer turns very wrath, but sometimes no answer does the same thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you say what you got to say, and sometimes it's just something like it's not that person, it's you.
Yeah.
So you have to.
Because in my first marriage, I was fighting for my marriage for a very long time. I was fighting for it, but it was just very unhealthy. It was like poison and eating away at me. It was just eating away my skin like cancer would do or HIV or anything. It was really, but I was fighting for it, but it wasn't anything that I should fight for any longer at that point.
So you had a mind shift.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. Always love the mind shift. But, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you guys, just in this whole piece, and it still goes back to what we talked about earlier, about the hurt, because, like, Summer, your relationship, obviously, your past relationship, your previous relationship was a very hurtful one, and finally you got to the point where, like you just said with Io, that you had that mind shift and it was time to break away. And normally when you listen to people talk about relationships, I know you guys have probably heard it just like I have, that men have a more challenging time getting over the past and the past hurt to be able to move into another healthy relationship, whereas with women, we kind of deal with it. We go through the crying. We go through, you know, all the depression, whatever it is that we go through. We kind of go through the emotions, and we allow ourselves to go through it and to be vulnerable, and then we're able to pick back up, whereas it seems like men are not able, as far as what I've seen and what I've heard, that men have more of a struggle with dealing with the hurt in order for them to be able to get to the next relationship. So what do you say for men? Like, what are the differences you see in terms of how men deal with hurt in previous relationships versus how women deal with it?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I was looking at Chris like, what do you think?
I mean, Chris can answer as well from a male perspective in terms of dealing with the hurt because, of course, it's different for men than it is for women.
I believe you're absolutely correct. In my experience, it has been different for men to deal. They hold on with it a little bit longer than we would. Like you said, we go through our thing and we move on because that's the way it was in my previous marriage. And I think I moved on a little quicker and he probably held on a little bit longer. So I believe you're absolutely correct. Now, why that happens, I don't know.
Right. Chris, how are men, what are some things that men can do to be able to deal with that in order to move over to the healthy relationship? What are some things that you have to do?
Oh, man, I have to be honest. And I think that was the difficult thing because you have this ego, and, you know, one of the things that keep you, you know, moving in life is to keep moving, you know, not to dwell on the past. And, you know, I don't think in society, I don't think we're really taught to how to manage our emotions. I was just blessed to get a couple of books, and I was blessed to go through some classes. I went through some classes and to begin the healing process. But I think men just really have to stop and just not think of I'm going to be a punk or a chump or whatever it is. I think you just have to be like, you know, I'm just going to be me, and I'm not going to worry about what everybody's going to say. I want to get my life right. So I think realizing, because sometimes we get angry, but we don't want to admit that we're hurt. Because if we admit that we hurt, then that's a sign of weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I had to change my mentality was, you know what, just because I have these feelings, that's all they are. They're feelings, they don't really make up to, I mean, like, who I am. It's just whatever I'm feeling at that time, that's just a feeling. And I think I had to get that through my head. And sometimes I struggle a little bit, but someone brings it out of me, you know. It's just like, okay, what's going on? Because, you know, you just taught to be strong. I mean, you're not taught to be to show your vulnerability. But I think I've begun to process that being vulnerable doesn't make me not a man. It's just like I am a man, period.
Right.
You know.
Right. Do you think it's possible for a person to be able to move into another relationship while still having some issues they're dealing with in the past? Or do you think you have to be completely healed of everything? Do you think it's possible for you to get into a relationship with someone else and they can help you through the process, through the healing process?
You know what?
Yeah.
I think it depends on what it is, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should there's some things I think you should heal from.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to heal from everything. I think that's what marriage is about. You help to heal the other person.
Yeah, I believe in our marriage. That's what we did. Like
mm-hmm.
I said before, with me not being an affectionate person,
mm-hmm.
he helped bring that out of me and helped kind of soften me up from all that thinking I needed to be hard. I was still in the protection mode from my previous relationship. So he helped me kind of get a little more gentle and more affectionate.
All right. And Summer, you mentioned that for you personally, you had a different perspective on marriage because you come from a single-parent household. And we actually had this show. We talked about this on Mindshift just in the last few weeks. We've been talking about how, you know, our upbringing and the relationships that we witnessed as children and our relationships with our parents affect our ability to have those healthy relationships as adults. But with you guys coming from two different backgrounds like that, how were you guys able to mesh the two? How were you guys able to have that mind shift together where you guys got to one comfortable place in terms of how you would shape your own marriage? How did you guys get there?
Oh, man.
Okay. Mm. I think Chris is the one that really helped me because, like I said, I was the one who grew up in the single-parent home, so it's not a lot I can learn about in marriage in a home like that. So he really helped me in that department by telling me his thoughts on marriage and what his parents did. And I just basically went off on TV like, oh, I kind of want to be like the Cosby Show. You know?
Right.
So I just basically told him what I felt I needed in the marriage. But as far as how the marriage worked, I think we got that from premarital counseling, and that's why that's so important when you're preparing for marriage. We got a lot through that.
Remember we did a book together.
That's right, we did a marriage book together. We did, yeah.
And so we had to really talk about what we were wanting in marriage and what some of our weaknesses and strengths were and all that stuff. So, I mean, again, it goes back to we were talking a lot. And I know Summer, I apologize, sweetie. Because I just kept on asking all these questions in different ways so I can get the same answer. I think it was just so important that I had, you know, it's kind of like making sure that, you know, we was on the same page, you know. So I didn't want to assume anything. I assumed too many things the last time. So I was like, no assumptions. You know, let's talk about everything. Everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything from kids to sex life. To you know, finances to, like, you know I'm in ministry, you know I'm a pastor, so these are the things that's going to happen. Can
mm-hmm.
you handle that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so all these things, can you handle my family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we really had to just be open and honest about everything. So
mm-hmm.
there's some things that she said I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had to kind of like step back and just, okay, give me a second, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, why don't you think like this? But
mm-hmm.
to realize that, okay, she has her own thought process. I got mine. Okay, where can we find a win-win situation with this thing?
And that's a good point, too, because when you are talking about that on how you view marriage and family and how you want your marriage and family to work, you do have to think about where that person came from. you know, you just can't be on the attack mode like, oh, my God, you know, you just don't understand where I'm coming from. Why are you thinking this way? You have to remember, like, oh, okay, they did grow up, like, blah, blah, blah. You know, you have to take that into account as well.
Definitely. I have a question.
That's awesome.
Do any of y'all have any of y'all have children from previous marriage?
Yes, I have two girls, and Chris has a son.
And how much important was that to communicate to the children and involving them with y'all marriage?
That was so important. That was so, and that's why I'm like, let me just say shout out to all the blended families out there.
Yeah. Because a lot of people don't think you communicate with the child at all, you know. They just get married and say, this is how it's going to be.
Yeah, because we're like, it has to be a God out there. Because we have to deal with other parents. We have to deal with how we grew up and how we want our children to be raised and then how they grew up, and they, because they are very active in our kids' lives. So all parents are very, very active in our kids' lives.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids go from one home to the next, and it's different rules there and different rules here. So it was really important.
Yeah, we really communicate. We talk to the kids. So I know I talk to my son, and Summer talked to her girls, and we would kind of tell them about the situation once we knew that this was going to happen. We took them to Chuck E. Cheese, and we just kind of let them introduce each other, and they went and had fun. And so that's how we started off, and we also have family night, so we get to talk about issues, you know, what's going on, and it's a, you know, so.
Yeah.
Communication is really important in
it is.
Especially especially when we've had to have talks, you know, somebody's like, Chris, I don't, you know, okay, can you deal with one of them like this? You know, I would like for you to not to do this or vice versa. We it's really just a talk, I mean, especially when you have to, when you are the step parent and you know, Summer and their father, you know, that's, they're the parents. And I have to, you have to respect their wishes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just someone that helps to promote what they want to teach their children. So sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult because you want to, give your, you know, like, no, they should be this, you know. I mean, I get to do a little bit of that, but the thing is, it's just the respect part, respecting the kids and the parents.
You also have to communicate with their parents also, right? Like the children's parents, but then the children's grandparents on that side.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. That's what makes it. You really have to, like you said, communication is so important. You really have to communicate with everyone. We do have to constantly communicate with the other parents. And
Which isn't easy all the time. But.
As far as what's going on and what we and how we would like our kids to be raised, because there are certain shows that the kids are not allowed to watch here because we are a Christian home, and there's certain things they can't listen to on the radio and certain artists, and so it gets difficult when they go to the other parents' home and they can. So, like we said, we really have to just leave it up to God, like, just Lord, cover them while they're gone.
Okay, look, y'all getting into a whole nother conversation there. But I have a question, because we've talked about trust, we've talked about communication, we've talked about respect, and now y'all know I got to come on. This is going to be my question, is because this is, you know, I am the natural then, so we got to cover everything. Is passion, how do you keep the passion in your relationship? Because I feel passion is an essential component, one of the fundamental basis of a relationship. How do you keep that spark going?
We were talking about last week. Anyway, I think it was last week how, you know, some Christian people, they're like, well, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. But we like, we believe to keep it hot.
Hey, God gave me this body. And, you know, everything is legal in marriage, so
exactly.
I'm going to do everything that I can to please my wife. I mean, you know, we got to keep everything going.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've studied on is healthy sexuality. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that's one of the things that's one of my, you know, passions and stuff. So, mm-hmm. you know, we talk about how to kind of basically mm-hmm. please each other and stuff like that. I think it's mm-hmm. so important, but passion is very important.
And that is the thing, that you do have to be open and honest on how to please each other, and you can't compare that person to an ex. Like, well, he did it like this, you didn't do it like that. You know, you can't do things like that.
No, brother, yeah. don't. I don't care if it's in your head, you better not say it.
Exactly.
Talk to your pastor about it. Sometimes. Talk to your counselor. Just do not say that to your wife. If you want to keep everything spicy and everything, don't shut it down. Don't shut it down saying something stupid.
Yeah, I am so happy that Io asked that. That is so cool, because I was thinking the same thing, Io. And I don't know if it was meant for me not to ask that question about the passion, because it was like burning after I heard. I don't know if it was Chris or Summer that made the comment about being able to have open communication, and he was like, even about sex, and I was like, ooh, you know, and I felt it then, but I couldn't say anything, and then my phone just went out when you guys were talking, so I was like, am I not meant to ask that? And I came back right on point when I said passion, and I was like, yes.
I know, because when I talk to women who are saying that they're not satisfied or who are scared to wait, because we believe in waiting to have sex before you get married, and so, you know, wait, get married, basically. And so when I hear women say, well, I'm scared, what if it's not as good as I want it to be once we get married, and what? And I'm like, well, open your mouth, say how you want it. Don't just sit there and let it be what it is.
Exactly, because I know I've been telling someone, I want it this way, I like it like this. I mean, because exactly. You're like...
But you don't get to experience it until after you get married? Is that what y'all saying? Mm-hmm. You don't get to experience it until after you...
After marriage, yes. Once you get married,
I think it would be so blessed if you can honor that commitment and wait until after you're married. I think at that point, it would just totally blow your mind. That's how I feel about it.
So we'd have to get married sooner.
Huh?
We can't have no 6-year.
No. Yeah, it's no 14 months and all that of, you know, no.
Yeah.
What you want to get into, right? Because, I mean, some people just can't handle it. But you know what? And the other great thing about this, and you guys were talking about how God is at the center of your relationship, and someone also made a comment about that on in the chat room just now, but it makes me think of one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible when it talks about, I think it's in 1 Corinthians, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, talking about marriage. And it talks about how your body, it talks about the husband, your body belongs to your wife, and the wife's body belongs to her husband, and that you guys should not withhold or deprive each other of anything unless it's mutual consent, right? So we have the permission. It is allowed in marriage. You can do whatever you want to do. So you're free to tell your husband or your wife what it is that you desire. And that's where that submission piece also comes into play, as far as submitting and wanting to give of all of yourself, not just, you know, your mind, but your body and every part of your being to that person that you say that you love, you know, and it should just come naturally in that process.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, the thing, too, is also respecting what the person doesn't want.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, and men, that could be sometimes it could be a hard thing. You know, if your wife says, you know, I'll do this, but I won't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you love that person, then you'll be like, okay. You know, you can do without it. You know, I always teach is that, you know, sometimes we think about sex so much that sometimes you just have to de-emphasize it at
mm-hmm.
times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I thank my wife, because there's plenty of times when she doesn't want to, and she just says, okay, we'll do it, and I'm grateful, and I'm thankful. and I let her know. I just said, I know maybe you didn't want to do it, but I appreciate you, you know.
Yeah, it's so weird to me. It's so weird to me, because I have never had a man say thank you. And so I'm like, that is so weird, but okay.
Oh, gosh, I'm glad this is a late night show. Right. It was funny because yesterday I was saying that she's like, we have to have some calls after 12. I'm like, go ahead.
I know you say you mentioned a couple of times on different things you've read. Like, what are some stuff that you read that somebody can can start, you know, they want to build their happy relationship? What are some different things they can start off reading?
Okay, you know what, there's a book that first got me to start opening up. It's T.D. Jakes, Men Thou Art Loosed. And I received that book and I went through it. That was a good book, you know, just for personally. There's another book that I've read for dealing with relationships, The Five Love Languages.
Oh, yeah, that's a big seller right there.
Yeah, that's a good one. I'm trying to think of another book that I've read that. Yeah, I don't have it, but I did before we got married. I actually read a book about blended families, and I don't remember what the title was, but it gave a lot of good insight. And I forget the book that we basically read.
We did Teach Me How to Love You.
Yeah, Teach Me How to Love You.
Yeah, by Juanita and Bishop.
Yeah. So we actually went through that, and that really helped us a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That really helped us a lot.
So the information is out there. We just
information is out there. I mean, all these Amazon, you know, and Barnes and Noble. I mean, it's just out there. You can get it. You know, even if you have those electronic books, you can download them to your PC.
And when you've been through a lot like us, when you've been through a lot of drama in previous relationships, mm-hmm. you will seek it because you're like, this time it's going to work. I know that's how we work. Mm-hmm. We were like, oh, this time it will work.
You know, and we always talk about the warning signs that we've had, but, you know, we just, you know, when you're young, and I think you just think that, you know, we can make it work and, you know, I can change this person. And if there's a person out there listening and you're thinking that you can change that person, I say don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't change nobody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All you can do is just be there and supportive, and you have to allow that person to change.
Yeah.
You just can't. I'm not trying to force Summer to change.
Mm-hmm.
That takes off a whole bunch of stress. You know, mm-hmm. you just have to let that person be them, and then you have to figure out if you can live with that person.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, it's so important to be whole, because you don't want that person to have, you know, that stress of having to complete you. Like, okay,
yeah.
I have to fill in every void.
Mm-hmm.
No, the only one that fills in the void is God.
Yep. And I don't look for someone to fill that void in my life. I just want her in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you guys for coming on. I see we're coming up to the end, and we can continue on with this conversation. But, I thank you guys for being on here and being so transparent and honest, sharing your thoughts, sharing your perspectives, and allowing us to pry into your life to get some of those nuggets, because I think people can definitely benefit from the information that you guys have shared, especially at the end, with the books and some of the exercises that you guys practice as far as the reading and so forth to get you prepared for the happy and the healthy marriage. So I thank you guys again for being on Mindshift. It was awesome to have you back here. And why don't you guys go ahead and let our listeners know how they can get in touch with you guys if they have any questions or any thoughts.
Well, for me, I'm on Facebook, and so you can look for me under Summer Crayton, and that's SummerCrayton. And also I have a website. It's called TransitionMadeEasy.com. That's my life coaching website.
And for me, too, you can hit me up on Facebook. It's just Chris Crayton, C-H-R-A-S, and last name C-R-A-Y-T-O-N.
Well, thank you, guys. Io, Billy, do you have any closing remarks before we end the show?
Yeah. It's a scripture chapter in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 5, and it talks about Christ's relationship with the church, you know, God's, you know, anyway, that whole relationship between Christ and the church, comparing it with a man and his wife. And so you should see Christ in people's relationship, a successful relationship. And I see that in Chris and Summer's relationship. I can see God in their relationship just by being on the call.
Oh, thank you,
sir. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
My only closing thing, guys, is, you know, at the end of the day, the foundations of what we're talking about is, number one, is it's going to have to rest on you. It rests on yourself. There is no healthy relationship without a healthy you. So you have to bring your best self to the table and be complete and happy and whole with who you are before you can look to someone else to fulfill whatever it is. You know, that's one of the things that just ring true to me. And the second thing is, your values and your own mindset, knowing what you believe in, you know, what you hold near and dear to your heart, so then you can have, you know, real discussions with whoever it is that you're bringing into your life and make sure they're on the same page as you. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks, everybody, and I know we'll see you guys next week.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for listening in. If you have any thoughts about tonight's topic, please feel free to, you know, let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Mindshift Talk Radio. You can also reach Billy Miller on Facebook, and you can also reach Mr. Ayo Kidar on Facebook, and I am your host. Again, Stacey Emery, so you can reach me. Her last name is E-M-E-R-I. So we thank you guys. You guys have a phenomenal week. Thank you again to our guests, and we look forward to speaking to you guys next week, same time, same place, Monday night at 10 p.m. Pacific, I'm sorry, Eastern Standard Time, and 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So until next week, you guys be blessed. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.